Welcome back to Coast. Sydney Kirkpatrick is kind enough to stay 1/2 hour more, where we'll take your calls and then we'll have open lines for the last half of the hour right here on Coast to Coast AM with your text and your tweets. Welcome back. Sydney Kirkpatrick with us, of course. Sydney, tell us a little bit about the magazine, Venture Inland, if you will, Inward.
Well, it's, you know, I often talk about the team. It's the Sid and Nancy.
It is a great team. You ever play that?
If you could see the behind-the-scenes tug-of-wars we have over subject, because we really do come at this stuff from two different, you know, left brain, right brain, whatever. But, you know, because Nancy's really, she's really interested in what Casey has to say about how you live your life and you know, what steps you can do. Myself, you know, I like these ancient mysteries. I want to find the Hall of Records. And so that's what the ends up being our magazine, because we've got, you know, we cover all kinds of subjects. On the next issue, for example, you probably had James Vieira on, who talked about giants. Yeah. Well, we got James to write us a great article on giants. I don't know, you know, John Van Auken is probably the preeminent Casey speaker, most knowledgeable person out there, and you know, who is a director for the ARE, and we want to try to keep him off your show because we're afraid we'll lose him. He's that good. But he writes a column. We have a holistic pet veterinarian, you know, a big Casey guy. His wife's been on the board, and you know, but psychic pets. You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And they are.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a nutrition column. So we got a bunch of a lot of stuff. And of course, I write an article every couple issues from treasure hunting and stuff. We got our articles on some of the people who had readings. The newest article coming out is called Looking for Poseidia, which was about a woman who died in Delray Beach, and the neighbors had no idea that she had, you know, had received these Casey readings and was actually outgoing looking for the Hall of Records, which brings us back to that subject.
Yeah, we gotta find those.
Find that. Wouldn't that be cool?
We'll get there. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Alex in Rochester, New Hampshire, on the wild card line. Hello, Alex. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering if Edgar Casey, during any of his readings, ever spoke about war, such as the need to end war or the need to stop waging war in general.
Oh, yes. The Woodrow Wilson readings. You know, I can direct you to them, or, you know, call the Casey Association and they'll get you the numbers. But it's so interesting at the end of World War One, with when Wilson and others were sitting around talking about the, you know, forming the League of Nations, which of course ultimately, after several failures back and forth, became the United Nations. But Casey has some very, very interesting things to say about the creation of the League of Nations. And one of the real interesting things about that reading in particular is that Jesus was at the table spiritually when the League of Nations was being formed. Unfortunately, you know, the U.S. didn't ratify what had begun there. But there were false starts. But yes, he talks a great deal about peace. In our last book, The Two Tales, we talk about Burton Wheeler, this congressman. Who was in line for president. The reading essentially says, is what a president he would have been. He was a Quaker, a peace person. And when the reason he turned FDR down for being vice president is that he couldn't conduct the war. He believed that this was against his principles. And so he didn't want to burden by taking on the vice presidency with something that he felt so strongly about, and knowing that they were, you know, well into World War II. But what's so interesting, you have to ask yourself this question. you know, Truman took that position. He was vice president, and he ultimately became president, and he was given the choice of, you know, dropping the atomic bomb, you know.
Yep.
And I wonder what would have been had this Burton Wheeler, who received the Casey readings, been in that position, a Quaker, a pacifist. Would he have dropped the bomb? I don't know, but it's certainly interesting to think about.
Sure is. Next up, we go to Gail in Kentucky. Hi, Gail. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, George, and hello, Sydney.
Hi.
When I was younger, I read The Sleeping Prophet, and ever since then, I've been fascinated with Edgar Casey. But I wanted to relate something that I had about Atlantis. I started becoming psychic when I was 16, and I'm 59 now. And as I've gotten older, I've developed my psychic ability more. And I've had a series of dreams and visions about Atlantis. And I'm wondering if my visions have just been the same as what Casey said. And in a nutshell, what it's been is that Atlantis was highly evolved on the spiritual plane.
Mm-hmm. He says that too.
And that there were also people there that were not highly evolved, but they were very political and very much wanting warfare. It was like a power play on the island of Atlantis. And they were also using crystals to focus energy beams. And the people that were focusing the spiritual energy were against this. And they were nature lovers, and they practiced holistic medicine and were vegetarians and stuff like that. Well, eventually, the rift between the two groups got so huge that it became like a war, and the scientists and political people were able to take over these heavy-duty crystals that they channeled these like laser beams and stuff with.
Yeah.
And
they call it the Tui Stone, is what Casey calls it. This giant crystal that could somehow suck in, you know, solar energy and then shoot it out.
They do say that that's probably where the Bermuda Triangle is, and that a crystal down there on the ocean floor is causing all this havoc.
Yeah,
with boats and planes.
That's right out of a Casey reading. He doesn't use the term Bermuda Triangle, but yes, that area is one Casey discusses at length, and that's, you know,
is that near Bimini, I guess?
Yeah. One of the places where, you know, the lost records can be found. He said three places, but in terms of your caller, yes, you got the outlines of Atlantis correct. And what's so interesting, of course, is because it parallels what we're going through now. And Casey actually said that many of the Atlanteans who perished in that cataclysm have been reborn today, and that many of them, some of them are our scientists. I mean, even mm-hmm. you go back to Tesla. Tesla's like perfect Atlantean. will we deal with it the same way that the Atlanteans? Will we rise above it? You know, Casey, one of his predictions of, you know, another great war is coming. Will we be able to avoid it? I don't know.
Was Casey religious?
Yes, absolutely, and I think that's what kept him sane, because as a child, these things would happen to him, and he just didn't understand it, couldn't explain it, but the Bible provided insight that God spoke to people in the Bible, and those prophets could hear God's words, and angels appeared, and that's what Casey was seeing. Casey saw an angel as a youth. So I think he held on to that, and he remained a fundamentalist Christian his entire life, started with Disciples of Christ and eventually in Virginia Beach, the Presbyterian Church. But, you know, that wasn't an easy thing. One of the tragic things that happened to him as an older man is being asked to stop teaching Bible study. And it was like somebody had driven a stake in his heart.
Really?
He had spent his whole life.
They didn't like the fact that he did readings, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Well, they, you know, this biography or you know, a magazine article, Miracle Man of Virginia Beach, had come out. And they were saying, oh, well, we can't have a psychic teaching Bible studies.
I see. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how cool it would have been having someone like Casey teaching you Bible studies?
I would have loved being in a class with him.
Yeah.
Let's go to Arlene in Belhaven, North Carolina, first-time caller. Hello, Arlene.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
I have been a follower of his for over 60-some years.
Wow.
And I've used his remedies, and I'm 79, and everybody tells me that my skin is that of a 50-year-old, so...
Yeah. Good for you.
You know,
a lot of them do work.
You ought to meet my wife, Nancy. Talk about skin.
Back in the 80s, I worked in a dealership in Virginia Beach, and there was a car in, and I saw the name on the ticket, and, oh, my God, it was Hugh Lynn Casey.
How
and when
that?
I had to call him about his car, I got to talk to him for about 15 minutes. I felt like I touched the Shroud of Turin. It was really an experience.
Were any of the children the same way as Edgar? Did they have that ability?
Certainly not the same way. And, you know, the two sons each had different interests. And Hugh Lynn was always trying to test his father. And
he didn't believe his dad?
Well, no, it's not that he didn't believe it. Well, I don't know.
Maybe he didn't.
Well, he ultimately, of course, he did. But he was always trying to test the limits, see how far this would, you know, possibly go. And, you know, he tells a great story of when he was a child and he'd skipped school and you know, went into the swimming hole in Selma, Alabama, or that river right underneath the Peace Bridge, whatever that river is, and Alabama, I don't know, is it? Well, in any event, he played hooky from school, and the moment he got home, his father had psychically seen him and was really worried about him drowning and sort of, you know, gave his son the lecture. But that kind of thing happened all the time. Edgar Evans, the other son, was much more interested and almost obsessed by Atlantis. And what the general public didn't know, because he wouldn't tell them, is that Edgar Evans's life readings had made him an Atlantean, had actually identified him as one of the scientists who had was responsible for the cataclysm in Atlantis. And it's interesting, the whole topic on that subject in and of itself, because the reading for Edgar Evans said, don't let this guy, his child, go anywhere near guns. Don't let him, you know, be part of the military. Avoid it at all costs. And one might even argue that, you know, Casey said, the soul chooses the mother and father. The soul chooses that incarnation. And, you know, why did he choose Edgar and Gertrude? Well, maybe because they would listen to those readings. They would understand the potential harm Edgar Evans coming into the world might be. And, in fact, his life reading, it opens with, as it sort of said, many will dread the arrival of this soul. And so maybe he was born in that family because they knew how to deal with it. And they went way out of their way to keep guns away from him, and when World War II was an inevitability, he joined the Signal Corps, and he was down building radar stations in Trinidad. And that's all because they wanted to keep him away from that. And it often, three or four times in his career, the major, you know, munitions manufacturers would approach him because he was an engineer, an engineering degree, and he was drawing on, you know, that Atlantean experience.
Let's go to Robert in Sunland, California, west of the Rockies. Robert, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Robert.
I was wondering what I could do about my brain cancer.
You had brain cancer?
Yeah.
Are you okay now?
Yeah.
That's a miracle all by itself. Was it a tumor?
Yeah, it was esophageal cancer. It spread. It's stage 4.
But you, yeah. But you're saying you beat it?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Well, we're praying for you.
Yeah, let us do that.
Send our energy to.
What help. would Edgar Cayce have done in a case like that? He only gave readings, right? He wasn't a healer.
No, yes, and that's another misunderstanding, because he was not a healer. He just provided information. He was a conduit, and that's really what, I mean, the way Nancy and I look at this is we look at it as a resource. You know, if our children are having challenges, if we get in a medical issue or something, we use it as a resource. We don't look at it like it's a Bible, but... Yeah, of course, it's got biblical things, but I don't know where I was going on this.
Well, we were talking about Cayce and cancer.
Yeah, okay.
And he wasn't a healer.
Yeah, yeah, he would say he wasn't a healer, I don't know what would have come through in a reading. He certainly would have been upfront with the person if it was incurable, but. You know, but there is mind. Mind is the builder, and he proves providing the tools for someone to heal themselves. Again, Cayce said all over and over, all can do it. All can do what he did. So, if you learn how to do that, if you raise yourself, maybe you can cure your own cancer. It certainly wouldn't be out of the question.
No, you couldn't rule that out either. You can't rule that out. Cindy, you only got about a minute and a half left. Would you get out your website and tell us about this offer again for ARE?
Yeah, it's the website is edgarcayce.org. Cayce is spelled with a Y. It's like Cayce Jones, C-A-Y-C-E.
We think of Edgar Cayce as probably one of the greatest prophets ever, and you have done a marvelous job with your wife, Nancy, of just highlighting the things that he has done. You do a remarkable job, Sydney.
You do too, George. We really, you get out there and you're helping people. I love it. Just love it.
Well, we're friends of Cayce and we're friends of the ARE. They're good people. Give them our best, would you?
Thank you so much.
All right, Sydney, and thanks. Thanks for sticking around an extra half hour for us. I'm going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to take open line calls with you. That's right. Just about anything goes. What's on your mind? Share that with us, and we'll take your text or tweet as well. We'll be giving you those numbers and how to get to us there, and we'll do all of that in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Don't forget to sign up for the free Coast Zone newsletter. You can do that through the website, and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we'll do the rest when we come back. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and we have open lines for you for the rest of this half hour. Again, thanks to you, Sydney Kirkpatrick, out there for staying that extra half hour for us. Really appreciate that. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Keith in Arnold, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Keith, welcome back.
Hi, how are you? I haven't been on for a while.
Yeah. What's new out there in Arnold, not too far from St. Louis?
Oh, not much. A lot of sleet and snow.
Oh, no. Well, it is Feb out there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Slick.
Yep, it is. What's going on?
I wanted to find out if Edgar Cayce ever had panic attacks or anxiety attacks.
I do not know that, and I'm not sure Sydney would know that either, but I'm sure he talked about it in his readings.
A friend of mine said that, well, acquaintance, really, said to me that people who have panic attacks are picking up on the mental vibrations of everyone around them.
Hmm.
And that people like Cayce have been able to separate those.
That's interesting. I have a friend who gets them. He's a ring announcer. And one time he had it right in the middle of the ring. He thought he was dying.
He gets severe headaches, too?
No, just the panic attacks, and then they go away, and then he's fine.
Yeah, well.
How about you? You get them?
I get them a lot, and he says, that, well, like I said, he says it's like a radio that's on full receive, and he's getting all your frequencies and all the wavelengths at the same time.
Wow, you're getting bombarded.
Yeah, and basically he says Casey has been able to tune into every little one of them.
That's interesting.
You know, so that he can make his predictions, and he says those evil demons are actually people that are like sociopaths.
I'm going to check into that, Keith. Thank you for that. So we take your text and tweets, and we've got one, and that's probably all we're going to have time for from you. What do you got for us, Tom?
We got a text from Janice in Fort Worth. Hey, George, what's your favorite movie monster of all time? Mine is the Brown Gargantua.
The movie monster. Well, this would be way, way back. Would you consider the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I used to have all those models, that Aurora. I'm pretty sure the company was called Aurora. All those models I would have. I had Frankenstein. I had the werewolf, the wolfman. I had the creature from the Black Lagoon. I had Dracula.
What'd you do with them?
They're gone. I don't know. I think my mom, when we went off to college,
that's your
got
retirement.
Rid of I had, you know, you and I were talking about baseball cards a couple days ago. I had classic old rookie baseball cards of Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays. I had them all. I bet they were worth a fortune.
Oh, you would they're
you'd gone.
Be able to retire right now.
I'd love to say I had a Honus Wagner.
Ugh.
Isn't he the richest baseball card?
He's the one that's worth
$1.5 million or something.
It's
like
around that.
That
figure. It's big time. Hey, do you know who Monster Zero is?
I do not.
Okay.
Sounds like a drink.
No, it's one of the monsters that I was just thinking about because she was talking about the gargantuas.
All right, thanks. All right, the rest of your call. Skype's open, too, by the way, at George97313. Let's go to New Orleans. Hello, Vince. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. This is Vince. Talked to you several times after Katrina.
Yes.
During Katrina.
I remember your first name, Vince. Absolutely. How are things for you out there now? Back.
A little rough. I am disabled now, George, and we're about the same age.
Okay,
and,
what happened? What happened to you?
Severe back problems and pain, and with my diabetes, I can't get surgery. The risk is too high for infections and whatnot.
Oh,
and the politicians are in my spine, and we can't get our medicine. It's hard to maintain and quality of life. And through Coast to Coast, I was hoping maybe that we could start something and bring some heat on these people. We need a class action, or we need to unite or something, for Christ's sake.
Now, tell me, what are they actually not doing for you? What?
Will not write the medications like they always have because the idiots misuse them. And the idiots are going to be idiots no matter what.
No matter what.
Just outlaw idiots.
That's right. And in the meantime, the good people who need it, like you, aren't getting what you need.
Exactly. We take it like it says on the damn bottle, and we have to make it last, or else we can't get up and go.
Absolutely. Now, is this a federal thing or a Louisiana?
It's a federal thing, and Jeff Sessions, the idiot from Alabama, is behind most of it.
All right, we'll check into some of that. That might be a full show, or at least a partial show, to be sure. Let's go next to Stu in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the program. Hey, Stu.
Yes. On Saturday's show, they covered the fact that it was the 59th anniversary of the day the music died.
Yes.
Now, the next day, Sunday, was the 31st anniversary of the death of Liberace, and the 35th anniversary of the death of Karen Carpenter. Now, the reason I bring it up is, for those who don't know, one of Karen's close friends was Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
Olivia is now battling stage 4 cancer.
Oh, no.
She recently had to cancel a tour.
What a wonderful person, too.
And so I'd like to ask everybody to add Olivia to the prayer list.
You got
pray
it.
Pray that whatever time she has left with this be as pleasant and pain-free as possible.
We will do that. I did not know she had stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, so 25 years ago, she had a double mastectomy, and she had a six-year-old daughter at the time, and so that gave her incentive to fight back.
What a wonderful talent she is.
And now her daughter got married just recently. She was going to do it this summer.
Do you know her? It sounds like you know her.
No, I've never met her, just as I never met Karen, and I always wanted to.
Yeah, she was great, too, in her day. Okay, we will do that. She's on the prayer list, Stu. Consider it done. Larry's truck driving in Indianapolis. First-time caller for Larry. Hey, Larry, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, I'm doing fine. I hope you are, too.
Oh, not too bad. Hey, I got a question for you. Back before you became the host of Coast to Coast, did you go through Indianapolis by chance?
Did I go through Indianapolis in terms of driving?
Yeah, driving through Indianapolis.
Ask
for directions.
I've been through Indianapolis a lot. I can't remember asking for directions, but my sister used to live near Carmel.
Okay.
And I also used to do some work there for a public relations company years ago.
Years ago, yeah. Years ago, I had a job at a rest area.
Okay.
And someone has asked me for direction. I play this game with people, and I tell them, if you're ever on 465 and you miss your exit, just keep on driving.
You just go around and around and around.
The Circle City. Yeah. Well, a few years later, you made a comment, and it felt familiar. Now I looked you up on YouTube and.
I've been to Indianapolis, and I've been on the 465 going around in circles.
Yeah, I thought I met you once before.
Maybe.
Maybe. Nice guy. You had a few people with you. I thought maybe it was your family. But the reason why I'm calling is I need your opinion on something.
Okay. I'll give you my best advice.
All right. You know about chemtrails, right? And one of the chemicals that they say that are coming down from chemtrails is aluminum, right?
I think it's weather modification, but you're right. Aluminum and barium, they think, is definitely in there.
Right. And there's some theories out there that they're putting aluminum in flu shots.
Right.
Well, here's what I find interesting. In chemistry, when you mix, you can mix aluminum with quite a few chemicals and get different reactions.
That's true.
So what's got me concerned is we're up to over 100 people here in Indiana that's passed away, they say, due to the flu.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, and quite a few around the country. Well, one of the chemicals that reacts with a little bit of heat is calcium chloride, and that is the chemical they're spraying on the roads right now. And I believe there might be a connection between the two. Aluminum.
People are just breathing this stuff in?
Yeah, they're breathing it in, and it's a heavy metal, and it can stay in your body for years. Your body will take calcium from the bones to try to encapsulate these heavy metals, and until it can find a way to get it out of the system. But then if you have another chemical like calcium chloride that mixes with aluminum inside the body, you have a temperature rise. And I believe that could do some damage to your immune system.
That's a dangerous combination, isn't it?
Yeah. It makes you susceptible to the flu.
Right.
You have the elderly and the young that are passing away right now, and this could be contributing to it. So I've been telling people just when they're driving down the highways, that's where you're going to be exposed to most of this calcium chloride.
That's interesting. I'm going to check into that, Larry. Your theory could be as good as anything, because there's no question the deaths from this flu are way up over last year. Way, way up. Juan's with us now, truck driving in Wisconsin. Welcome to the program, Juan. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning to you, too.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I wanted to see if you ever thought about doing another show about creepy truck driving stories.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Probably during one of our open line nights on a Friday.
Yeah, those are great.
You got a good one for me now?
Man, I don't have any truck driving stories. I've been driving for a couple of years now, and no, nothing has happened in my area.
But some of those stories are great, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're very good. I mean, I've been listening to you for years, and you know, I appreciate everything you do.
Well, keep on driving. Keep our country going, Juan. We love you truck drivers, and let me tell you something. We are opposed to driverless trucks. We don't like them. We do not want our truck drivers displaced at all. We've got Dorian now in Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Dorian.
How you doing, George? It's first time caller. An amazing night to call in.
I'm glad you got through.
I was named Dorian Gray from birth, and I walked in on an Edgar Casey show. Just happened to be driving at night. I got a 5 a.m. delivery. It is amazing to walk in on that show. It saved. It literally really changed the direction of my life.
Really?
When I found his books in jail, in Joe R. Pyle's in Arizona, and I'm not embarrassed about it because it was a life-changing event.
Right.
And I found like 6 of his books were delivered to me through the library. And I end up reading his books, and then I got out, and I found more books of them, and I've been a follower of a researcher of homeopathic medicine since then.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm hooked on Casey. I'm hooked on his remedies, his predictions. I mean, fascinating guy. I can't do enough stuff about him.
It's the massage therapy and the MMS. Well, I wanted to mention, with the cancer the way it is and everything that's reaching out, I need you to probably look into a Dr. Jim Humble, H-U-M-B-L-E.
Where's he located?
He's out of San Diego. I think he's out of San Diego.
Okay.
But his website is jimhumble.com/MMS. You need to research that, and you need to have him come on and talk about that product.
Is he a real doctor or naturopathic? What kind?
He's a real doctor. He's a science doctor that did some work with I want to say the sciences of I want to say chemical engineering.
Okay.
So he's definitely worth his weight in gold from what he's brought to the world. And if you look it up, you'll see that I met him in Southern California one day. I was driving tour buses. And he was doing a presentation looking for funding, and I happened to run across this. We crossed paths. Ever since then, I have been promoting that, and it has grown super, super big in terms of helping people with various things that's going on with their body and cleansing. It's all about cleansing the body.
Yeah, you have to do that. That's great. I'm glad you're into that, too.
Oh, awesome. And I love your show. Thank you for all that you do. It's been amazing, and this has happened to be just a fantastic night because I didn't think I would get in, but you have a guy, Edgar Casey, talking about, you know, this clairvoyant that was very fantastic. And to answer that one guy's question, yes, he did have anxiety problems when he got too many readings at one time. That's what would be anxiety, right?
Okay, you got it. Dorian, thanks. I really appreciate that. We've got a great week of programs for you, too. This is Tuesday. I was on Sunday, so it feels like today's Wednesday already, and it's not. But we've got a great series of programs for you all week long. I like doing some little open lines like this every once in a while, too, not just on Friday night, but just to sprinkle them every once in a while. So we'll do that every once in a while for you. So stick with us all week long because you're listening to Coast AM, the number one rated late night talk show in the world. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.